from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones here on Sports Talk Saturday. I'm seeing my hopes and dreams get crushed right now on television, watching the men's Pommel Horse Final. Steven Notarasek, I thought, performed very well, was in third after his. There was a lot of cheering. Everyone was very excited. And then a Japanese gymnast just went now. I believe he's going to finish ahead of Notarasek as well. So medal, I don't think is looking likely there. I'm a little crushed. To say it lightly. On the Western Hotline, though, let's bump the vibes up here. Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, good afternoon, my friend. How are we doing today, man?
Good. I turned this basketball game on about 25 minutes ago, and the U.S. was down by about 5 or 7 or something like that, and now they're up by almost 20, not quite. I mean, it's just like they can turn it around very quickly.
I have such a tough time watching Olympic basketball for that reason of, like, if the U.S. doesn't win gold, then I'm more interested. And, like, I don't like that mindset of, like, yeah, they're going to win gold. It's fine. And if they lose, then I'm like, oh, wait, now who beat them? Now, wait a second. So, that's always, like, the one it looks forward to watch.
Because I was watching Simone and Jay do their thing on the vault. And I was going back and forth because I'm not a soccer fan. You know, I'm just not. And I don't begrudge anybody that is. I'm just not. So I was just keeping track of the soccer game. And I have, you know, Spectrum too. So when the goal scored, I could just go back and rewind and I can go see the goal. Anyway, so I didn't miss anything. So I got to see, you know, they won 1-0, which is cool for them, but to put them in the semifinals. And, of course, Simone and Jade got gold and bronze, so that was cool to watch. And then the basketball game came on, so I thought, well, all right, I'm in.
For the Olympics, are you kind of that person that can just throw in, like, a random sport and be like, I can watch this for the next 2 hours? I find myself, the older I get, the more I can just watch archery. I did that all day yesterday morning.
For time to time, and I like the fact that, you know, there has been a few days where I can watch things live. You know, at noon or at 1 or something like this. So that was kind of cool. It was interesting to watch when Simone Biles won the overall, and I can't remember the girl's name who's the commentator. I think she's an excellent commentator. I think she really, you know, for somebody who maybe doesn't know gymnastics, me, I mean, she really explains things really well. Well, she started, like, crying uncontrollably to a point where during the floor exercise, it was dead air. She couldn't talk. And I'm like, I don't think they paid you to do this like this. So then the guy's doing the play-by-play knows nothing about what he's seeing, and he's trying to fill in there. And then I watched it at night, and all of a sudden there was this great commentary throughout. They must have gone back before the night show, and she must have done some voiceovers. Because all of a sudden during her routine, I got the commentary, which I enjoyed because she is so good at it. And not once did you hear her crying or anything like that. So they went back and redid the whole thing as far as a voiceover over the actual event that they did. I found that was very interesting, watching it live and then watching the voiceover later on.
I got to start trying to do that, because like once I watch these, I mean, especially like I come into work, you know, around one, so a lot of like the maybe the marquee events have been starting around then, that I sort of miss later on in the night when they'll replay them, because I'm like, I already saw them. Now I kind of want to do that, because I'm like, I didn't realize they would edit it. I thought they would just kind of play it as it happened.
It was very unprofessional. She is the third commentator I have watched who has cried uncontrollably after an American has like done well.
Mm-hmm.
The third one. It's like, guys, that's not what you were hired to do. I understand you, in most cases, you used to be an Olympic athlete yourself. But to get in there and start crying uncontrollably, that's not what they're paying you for. And I don't ever remember that before. I've watched the Olympics for more than a couple of years, and I don't ever remember the commentators like breaking down and crying uncontrollably to a point where they can't talk. And I've seen it three times now.
Was the women's rugby, I think, was the other one, right, where the main commentator kind of like fully take over and was like, you know, we're holding you together. Like,
it's crazy.
Explaining
it's
everything.
Crazy. And even in the opening ceremonies, what's her name? Kelly Clarkson. She's, you know, after Celine Dion, you know, sang. And I understand maybe why she was emotional with what Celine Dion has gone through and everything. And they're both, they know each other and they're both singers. But she was to a point she couldn't speak because of what she had just witnessed. So that was another one.
The Olympics, it gets the emotions out of all of us. But Paul, you've also been at training camp. We'll get to the Sabres Prospect Challenge as well. But you've been at Bill's training camp. We had last night the return of the blue and red scrimmage. Did you go last night or has it just been St. John Fisher?
I'm not there every day, but I've done enough where, you know, I get to see, like I was talking to Sal yesterday about a guy like Elam, when I was on with him, you know, you can just see the improvement in training camp. Now, you have to be careful too, and I've learned this throughout the years, you can't get too excited with training camp. You take it for what it is. You look at Elam and say, he's obviously put the work in because almost on a daily basis, he looks very good. You can see the improvement. But, you know, you got to wait till you get into games and get out of training camp. But it's a good sign, let me put it that way, that he has had a very good camp. And probably, from my eyes, this has been the most improved player that I've seen for on the Bills roster. I think he's really shown well.
I've been very surprised. I've not been able to go to training camp. I've been kind of holding down the Extra Point Show while Sal goes and covers it. So a lot of what I'm getting is based off of, you know, just reading Twitter comments and posts and videos and what have you. It seems like from the start, I would say Elam has been like a main character, with McDermott kind of saying he has a clean slate. And then now going into camp, there are, of course, I would almost call them the Elam plays, where he kind of frustrates a receiver because he, you know, grabs onto him or what have you. But then every practice, it seems like, you know, in one breath he's making a bad play, the next he's picking Allen off, or he's, you know, right where he needs to be. Even if it ultimately is a good rep for someone like Keon Coleman, Elam's right there in perfect coverage. I'm not saying they're going to, you know, get a superstar out of him. And like you said, we got to wait for games to actually get going here. But man, if they could get anything out of Elam, which they really didn't all last year, that secondary goes from, I would say, maybe a worry to a very deep group, at least at the cornerback position.
Yeah, because look at it. I mean, if he continues into the regular season like training camp is and becomes what we're seeing, I mean, that's going to be huge for them, because you've got Douglas and you've got Bedford, but then you've got Elam and, what is it, Jamarcus Ingram, I think, is next. And, you know, that's your depth kind of thins out quickly, you know, when you're looking at the defensive back. So if Elam has improved this much and we start seeing it in games, that's going to be a huge boost for the Bills and their corners.
Yeah, absolutely. On the defense, though, staying with that, another person I think that's been brought up a lot is Von Miller. And kind of I mean, when he was talking with the media, he outright said that he did not play up to the Von Miller, you know, pedigree as normal. He didn't have any sacks last year. I think he had like four tackles. But so far through camp, it does seem like there is much improvement there. There is some pop there from Miller. Not saying it's every day. I mean, he is still someone in his mid-30s. He is still recovering from now what is two torn ACLs. But what have you seen from Miller?
Yes, definitely. It's a huge improvement. And quite honestly, last year, that's on Sean McDermott. I mean, of course, Von Miller is going to try to play. He's an athlete. He's like, all right, I've healed. The doctors say I'm cleared. If I'm cleared, I got to play. It got to a point last year where McDermott should have pulled the plug on it, in my opinion. Miller was doing nothing. You can't tell me they could have put somebody from the practice squad out there who could have done exactly what we saw Miller do. And he just couldn't. I mean, that injury is an injury that takes longer to heal than what he gave it, completely heal. And it just wasn't there at all. Now, I'm not in practice, but they are. Did they see things in practice that were better than what we were seeing in games? That I can't tell you. But I just think it got to a point where Sean McDermott should have pulled the plug on the thing because it just was not working. And you just mentioned it, that Miller himself has now said, I shouldn't have been playing, you know, because he pushed it. And now he kind of regrets that he did because he didn't feel like he was helping the team.
I mean, it got to a point, too, now, like in the offseason, he took a pay cut. I mean, ultimately, all now his guaranteed money is built into sacks that you would get later in the season, 8, 9, 10, making a Super Bowl. Which is somewhat commendable for Miller to take that pay cut to kind of know that I was not helping the team at all. I think a lot of the times last year, Paul, I think you're spot on. They should have pulled the plug because at times he was just flat out hurting the team. He was a non-factor, if not just a negative factor on the team.
And you look at it too, and I'm a total, you can't use injuries as an excuse, but it's also a fact. They played the Kansas City Chiefs without Milano, without Bernard, without Miller. Miller was there, but let's just say without Miller because it wasn't Von Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas was basically running around on one leg because they didn't feel they could put Elam in, I guess. So Douglas was trying to play as best he could, but he was on one leg. Did Bedford miss that game? I'm trying to think.
I don't think Bedford did.
I was trying to think if Bedford missed that game. Well, it doesn't matter if he did or didn't. Just those names right there.
Yeah.
And the Bills still hung in there defensively against the Chiefs. Yeah, the Chiefs did some things offensively. They're the Chiefs. But they have a guy playing in the middle who basically came in off his couch, who is now retired, and did the best he could. I mean, I don't blame him. He did the very best he could. A.J. Klein's a smart football player and still was in that game, but his brain was telling him to do things his body couldn't do. And you just think to yourself, can you imagine how much would have that game been different had Miller been healthy, had Milano been healthy, had Bernard been healthy, and Douglas been healthy? Would that game have been different if you could have had two of them?
Yeah.
If you just had Bernard and Milano, how much different is that game? We'll never know. But I just think to myself, I know injuries, people are sitting there, yeah, but you're making excuses. I get it. But these are, Milano's a Pro Bowl player. Douglas is one of the better corners in the National Football League. Quite honestly, I thought Bernard was actually better than what I saw in Edmonds. And I didn't think I was going to be saying that when, you know, he got the starting position. That was just too much out of your lineup. And I just wonder, would the game have been different had those guys been able to play at full speed?
I agree. I mean, especially on the Bernard point as well. And I've had a tough time. You know, you go through these past few playoff losses for the Bills, namely at home the last 2 years, but you also look at the injuries they've had, namely on defense, and it's just like, that's not a team that was going to go win the Super Bowl. Like, they don't have the depth. No team really has that kind of depth. And then, as you pointed out, too, they're missing some of their biggest playmakers on that side of the football and just trying their hardest to go get guys off the streets who know the defense, who can just maybe make a play. But the idea that, like, A.J. Klein is going to go chase down Travis Kelce was never going to work. And maybe Dorian Williams makes a difference there. Maybe. But they just kind of ran out of gas. I think the last 2 years just due to injuries.
Yeah, no, they did. And it's a shame, but the game is, you know, it's a game of injuries, and you got to go with the next man up mentality. But it just gets to a point where you're not even yourself anymore. You're not even the Buffalo Bills. I mean, you're totally somebody else just because you're so thin. You've got playmaking superstars who can't be out there, and two of them were out there, but they were, you know, couldn't do it in Von Miller. And now Von Miller was better than he had been, but he wasn't even close to being Von Miller, and Douglas is playing on one leg.
Yeah, absolutely. Last thing, though, on Bills camp, because I do want to get to the prospect challenge for the Sabres. On the offensive side of things, I have been somebody, I would say for the last few months, I've been banging the drum that this team is going in the way of, I think a lot of NFL teams are going, which is we don't necessarily need the high-paid $30 million a year wide receiver one. We just need a lot of number twos with a few guys that can maybe make big plays. I think for the Bills, they see that as Kincaid, maybe Shakir, and maybe Coleman. But early signs from camp has been that they are spreading the ball out, that everyone is feasting. I know Dalton Kincaid sat down with Kay Adams and said that, like, the mantra for this year's offense is everyone eats. Has that kind of been what you've been seeing?
Well, you know, they had to do what – it was time for Diggs. I mean, Diggs had gotten to the point where when Diggs is no longer on board with you, having him here, they had to do what they had. They had to take the hit because – it's not worth having him here playing like he did last year. He, to me, in my opinion, he looked disinterested a lot of the time. He was dropping touchdown passes. He was dropping other passes. You sit there and watch him run some routes. He didn't seem to have his heart into it at times. You know, then the playoff game was a perfect example. Drops a ball, fumbles in two of the first three plays of the game, has the long pass that's right in his hands, and he drops it. And, you know, he just never seemed into it at all. And when he's, you know, trying to show up as quarterback on the sideline, even though, you know, it's a maybe what he's saying is true, but it's a conversation you have sitting down next to him, not waving your arms in front of him and making him look bad. Because, Steph, when you're dropping touchdown passes, Josh Allen doesn't do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was one of those situations. It got to a point where Brendan Bean knew what he had to do, and he did it. And with the salary cap situation, they can't go get a number one high paid receiver. They can't, you know, even if the 49ers want to make a trade, they can't make that call right now. You know, and so for this year, they're forced into this. And we'll see how it works for them. But, you know, I'm sure they would love to have a guy, a high-paid number one receiver, but they just can't do it this year.
But they are setting themselves up pretty well for, you know, years following. A lot of draft capital coming into next year, more freed up cap space. I think they are playing the long game with hopes that this year, I think it's a lot of reason why they went to the run game so much last year, was sort of to salvage a season and not to, you know, lose out on it. I think it's kind of the same this year of just like, we can still be very competitive with the eye on the ball for the next 3, 4, 5 years down the road. But on the Sabres, Prospect Challenge, that's coming up September 13th through the 16th, and they're going to be bringing in here Boston, Columbus, New Jersey, Ottawa, and Pittsburgh. Paul, what else can you tell us about that?
Yeah, they've been doing this now. They used to go to the one in Traverse City that the Detroit Red Wings ran, but in 2015 they went away from that one and came and did their own. And it's been a good thing for them. A lot of people show up to the Sabre games, not necessarily the other games, but the Sabre games over at Harbor Center. The unfortunate part about it is the Sabres have a lot of picks who are college players. That's not unfortunate. But the unfortunate part is they can't come play in this because they're already in school. So, you know, even from this year's draft, you won't see Kleber, you won't see Zimmer. Zimmer looked great, by the way, when they were here for development camp. You know, Patrick Geary is another one. Gavin McCarthy, a local product, the third pick in 2023. We won't see him. You know, so you won't see last year's second-round pick, Sturbik, because he's playing in college. So that's the unfortunate thing, is that we don't get to see the college players come and play in these games, because I think it would be fun to be able to see them.
Yeah, but I think you're right, though, to like kind of bring it up, though. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, they're going to be getting their own kind of, you know, development as they go, which is good. And then real quick, Paul, before we let you go, because I've already taken up too much time on your Saturday. I mean,
All right.
It's obviously – it's gorgeous outside. It's just – it's pouring rain. It's fine. Real quick, though, on UPL. They avoid arbitration, and this kind of did surprise me. It, maybe not to you, but it did for me. They did sign him to a relatively long-term deal. How did you make out with the Sabres signing UPL?
I was very surprised by that. I was not surprised by the money. I figured between $4.5 and $5 million. And, you know, it came in at 4.75. But he's now locked up till he's 30 years old. I didn't think he would do that. I would have thought he might be more interested in a two-year contract where bet on yourself, where, you know, all right, I'm going to keep getting better. And in 2 years or in 3 years, I'm going to be quite a bit better. And I'm going to be able to get more money than $4.75 million per season. So that's what surprised me a little bit about that he didn't bet on himself. And, you know, same thing with Samuelson. You know, now for Samuelson, it's worked out. Maybe he was smart to sign a seven-year deal with the injuries problems he's had. But with the trajectory he was on and how good he was looking like, wow, 4.286 is going to be an absolute steal for him, you know, 7 years down the road. And it still could be. I mean, it's not like he's lost his abilities. He just has to be able to stay on the ice now and figure out how to not put himself in. Some of the injuries you can't help, but some of the injuries he's had, and he's admitted this, that he put himself in a bad spot. And by putting himself in that bad spot, he wound up getting hurt. Quinn did that when he got hurt the first time or second mm-hmm. time last year. You know, he was in a bad spot, and he had held on to the puck too long. So that's something that the two of them can learn. You know, what can we do in our game to not put ourselves in position to get hurt like that? But, you know, in Samuelson's case, you know, we'll see how that contract – it still could be a deal 7 years down the road.
It's going to be interesting, and I think the Sabres set themselves up perfectly, at least a goaltender that, you know, even if UPL has played dips, what have you, they have Levi, and even if Levi doesn't become, you know, what I think a lot of people hope for, they have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen locked in long-term. I think it's a win-win for the Sabres all around.
And if you look at what Lindy Ruff does with goaltenders, mm-hmm. I knew what he mm-hmm. did here in Buffalo. It was run Hasek to death and run Ryan Miller to death, and that's in all the years Lindy was here. He had two goalies, and that was it. He went to Dallas, did the same thing. I looked it up. Kari Lehtinen played 65, 65, and 59 games in three of the 4 years he was there. He only could do that 1 year with the Devils because he didn't have guys that could play like that. Vanacek played 52 games for him the year they went to the playoffs. So he plays the heck out of a goaltender. So Lukanen's probably looking at 60 games or something like that. I originally thought it's going to be Luukkonen and Levi, but when I did this research this week, I thought, no, I don't think Levi can be sitting here if Lukanen's playing 60 games. I think he's got to be playing 60 games himself down in Rochester. Reimer hasn't been in the minor leagues in, what, since 2011, I think I looked. So maybe Reimer is here to be the backup. And Levi goes to Rochester. Now, I wonder, and this is me wondering this, he's never said anything. Matter of fact, he talked very glowingly about his Rochester experience last year. He embraced it, and he did a great job down there, and you could see the improvement in him when he came up. I wonder, will he embrace it a second year? It's like, all right, he embraced it the first year. I don't know if he'll be real excited about it a second year. That's my opinion. We'll have to wait and see.
Especially with the potential that even if you get up in Buffalo in the third year, with how Lindy plays his goalies, may not get a ton of playing time. It's going to be real fascinating to see how that plays out. But, Paul, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll talk again soon, man.
All right, take care.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Western Hotline. And Paul's reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Also, before we take a quick timeout, an Olympic update. I was nervous. I was scared. And you heard my voice when we brought on Paul. I was very nervous that Steven Nadarovsky was not going to be able to hold on for a medal. He does. He is a bronze medal winner for the pommel horse. He gets both bronze in the solo event, the pommel horse, and he got it with the United States men's team in the overall team event. So wonderful games for him. He has been a character. He's been great. He's also the 2021 world champion in that event, so he has a wonderful career for him all set up, but I think being culminated with an Olympic medal here in Paris. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll have Chris Mack of BetQL and in Pittsburgh talking a little bit about the Steelers. Is there a QB controversy going on now with how much Justin Fields has been able to play with the first team? We'll get his thoughts on that and plenty more as well. And we're also taking your calls. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to join the show. Zach Jones here on Sports Talk Saturday, and you're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Dunn looking for Rodman again. Rodman and Trinity Rodman. Amidst a morass of muddling mediocrity and frustration, a special moment. 22-year-old Trinity Rodman, take a bow.
That was the winning goal for the U.S. Women's Olympic team, Trinity Rodman. You'll never guess. I know it's going to surprise everyone. I believe that is the daughter of Dennis Rodman. I'm just checking to make sure. And yep, that is the daughter of former NBA player, NBA Hall of Famer, Dennis Rodman. Trinity Rodman, she scores the game-winning goal in the 105th minute. Extra time there as well against Japan, a 1-0 win for the United States. And they will take on the winner of Canada and Germany. That game is going to get going at 1 o'clock, and then the actual semifinal match will get going on Tuesday. The U.S. will play the winner of Canada and Germany again. That'll be, though, at noon on Tuesday. Doing real quick, I'm just going through Twitter, you know, checking up on, you know, top storylines, what's going on here. And we do have a Pittsburgh guest coming up, Chris Mack, in Pittsburgh for BetQL as well. And Justin Fields, just, you know, from the outside looking in, it does seem like Fields continues to get, I don't say a go at it here, but it seems like he is going to kind of make things interesting for the Steelers. They bring in Russell Wilson. I don't think he had a bad season by any means with Denver. And Justin Fields, I think, is a solid backup quarterback right now with the potential that he could be a starter. Excuse me. But I think where the Steelers maybe need to nail this and why I think I'd favor Justin Fields is because there needs to be some sort of popability with your team, with your offense specifically, I think. And right now, I would argue with Russell Wilson, there just isn't. Wilson's a better passer by, I would say, quite a bit. But I think Fields maybe offers something that Wilson does not. And that, I think, is the prospect of hope and of building something for the long term. Wilson's 36 years old. You know, he's been now on multiple teams. The Denver stop did not work after everyone kind of thought that was maybe making Denver a Super Bowl contender. Fields can maybe offer something there that the Steelers haven't had in a while, mainly due to the fact that they forced Kenny Pickett down everyone's throat and even Mason Rudolph. And this can maybe make Pittsburgh, finally, it's been a long time since they've been interesting, but it could make them interesting. And on that point, I look at teams like Chicago and Green Bay and how interesting they are and how, I would almost argue, captivating they are compared to other teams in the NFL. I mentioned I think the Bills are an interesting team. I think even if you were a neutral fan or just a fan of a different team, I think you'd want to see what is going to go on with Buffalo. Now that Stephon Diggs is out, Gabe Davis is out, you know, Trey White's gone, Hyde Poyer gone. What are they going to be? When I look at Pittsburgh, for me, it gets interesting in the sense of what are they if they actually have good quarterback play? I don't think they have a very deep, you know, weapons room by any means. It seems like it's George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth, and running backs. But they win 9 games. They win. They're 500 or better every single year under Mike Tomlin. And if they actually had a good, competent quarterback, and maybe one that has a pop ability that can maybe get more out of that offense than has been seen in a few years here, now I think we're having a different conversation about Pittsburgh. I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl winner, but at this point we've gotten there that they sort of take advantage of, you know, an AFC North that has a lot of injuries to their top name quarterbacks. Lamar and Burrow have both dealt with injuries. Before that, Baker Mayfield has his own injury issues. Now Deshaun Watson does. They take advantage. They win 9 games. They finish second in the division. And they're a wild card team that everyone just beats up on. Doesn't matter who plays them. They whoop them. But if Fields is the quarterback, if really he is causing problems for the Steelers defense, which is seemingly maybe likely, or at least from what the reports I'm seeing, and he can add something to that offense, I'm not saying he's going to be a elite quarterback. I'm not saying he's now going to also be the next guy to break the market. He's going to get a Tua-level contract. But they're already getting him on the cheap. And if he has just a solid, good year, kind of showing out, they can sign him to a long-term deal that isn't breaking the market and can actually set themselves up for the long term. He's 25 years old. And you're seeing already some of these career revivals when they go to a right place, a good place. Geno Smith with Seattle's maybe the most clear one now, but I would even say Baker Mayfield with Tampa Bay. Me and Josh spoke about it on Thursday. I kind of like Tampa. There's something to them that I really like, and a lot of it I think comes down to Baker Mayfield and him becoming a 4,000-yard passer, 28 touchdowns, 10 picks, leading him to a playoff win, almost a win over Detroit as well in Detroit. Now they do lose Dave Canales, and he has been a part of both of those sort of revivals of their career. So that's going to be interesting now with Bryce Young. But with Pittsburgh, I don't necessarily think they're the right spot for Fields. But maybe he has the talent, and maybe he has kind of the understanding now of the NFL to make it the right spot for him. And if he can, and if Pittsburgh all of a sudden can be kind of become a little bit of a frustrating team for other, you know, NFL organizations to go up against, they've got something there, I think. With TJ Watt, George Pickens, I fully believe, is a top 10 receiver that just needs good quarterback play. Don't give me that he's a head case. I don't disagree with that, but I'm talking just on talent alone. I think he can be one of the best receivers in the game of football. He already, with bad quarterback play, with a guy like Kenny Pickett who refused to throw the ball downfield. I mean, I only watched like I think 2 or 3 Steelers games last year. One of them, though, was their opening day game against San Francisco last year. It was atrocious. And even then, through all of that last year, 106 targets, 63 catches, just under 1,200 yards, and 5 touchdowns. He is a talent in the game that if they can get someone to get him the ball, I think he is a difference maker. Now, after that, it's a big question mark. Roman Wilson was carted off the field the other day. They already had a very, very thin wide receiver room. So there's not a ton there to get excited about. But if you, and as I mentioned with the Bills a lot, if you can get the quarterback right, though, it kind of doesn't matter. You can make other disastrous mistakes and be just fine because your quarterback's awesome or your quarterback's pretty darn good. So if they can get something out of Fields here, and if he really is making this a fight, which I did not expect, again, Russell Wilson had a good season last year on a team that I think high-key hated him. And a head coach that absolutely didn't like him. He put together 26 touchdown passes, like 10 picks. A really solid season. I'm talking about Baker Mayfield having 2 more touchdowns and like 100 more yards. It's like a great season for him. If Wilson gives that, that's the best quarterback play the Steelers have had since like pre-near-retirement Roethlisberger. So there's something there. I just don't know if the Steelers are going to be willing to do it. I don't know if they're going to be willing to kind of, I think, retroactively change their plans on the fly, all because of a calf injury to Wilson. I mean, that's really been a big part of this, is Fields has taken the first team reps, ultimately because Wilson's been hurt and has not been out there. And they're going to be a team, I think, throughout the preseason, I'm going to want to keep an eye on, because I want to see where that quarterback competition is going to go, because I think it might be, honestly, the only one in the NFL. I mean, yesterday I saw some Vikings fans get excited, but like jokingly so, because J.J. McCarthy got a few first-team reps rather than like none. Like, Darnold's going to win that job. It feels like Pittsburgh might actually be the only quarterback competition, which is weird, because if it weren't for a small calf injury that is keeping Wilson out just for a few days, I don't think we'd be having this conversation at all. We're going to talk more, though, on the Steelers when Chris Mack of BetQL and in Pittsburgh joins us at 1 o'clock. If you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones here on Sports Talk Saturday, and you're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones here on Sports Talk Saturday. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll have Chris Mack. He's with BetQL from Pittsburgh. We'll get his thoughts on the Steelers. Throw a little maybe Paul Skeens question in there, as well as the Bills will play the Steelers in their second preseason game of the year. And they'll also, though, that week be in Pittsburgh. I think they're all closed practices at Acrisure Stadium. So, you know, I always like joint practices for teams. I'm less big on preseason games. I'm going to be happy when they kind of cut that down to two, maybe even one eventually in my lifetime. I don't really care for them, because I mean, me and Paul Hamilton were talking about it. Like, we can't really make too many evaluations until like games start, and it doesn't even count preseason games. It really doesn't. And that's the frustrating part, is like, you know, you hope Kyrie Elam looks great there, especially if you're an Elam fan and you've liked what you've seen. I want it to work, just because I'd love for the Bills to have more, you know, depth in their secondary, namely the cornerback position. And yet, it's tough to say that preseason games against, you know, the Bears, the Steelers, and then, you know, who else are they playing in the preseason? Detroit? Does it really matter? It's tough to say it really does, honestly. It's very difficult to say it does. I mean, even looking at the... Oh, Carolina's the third one. Carolina, excuse me. Like, even look at the Hall of Fame game, which I was initially... And I said it all week. I was initially very excited to watch it for the kickoff. Lasted all of 3 seconds. I stayed here at work a little bit longer so I could actually catch the opening kickoff, because typically if a sport starts at 8, I'm leaving at, you know, 7:55. I don't get home till like 8:15. I've missed it, you know. So I stayed the extra few minutes to see it, and you know, all the hoopla. I've been a part of it. And, yeah, I mean, it was fine. You know, nothing crazy. As I've mentioned, I kind of hope there's not, like, insane amount of plays all the time, because that'll lead teams to just – boot it out of the end zone. We'll take the touchback penalty, if you want to call it that, and we'll move on from there. We're now, you know, as long as it just offers the idea and, you know, the potential that a big play can happen or a big return can happen, then that's perfect. But at least from what we saw on not opening night, but the Hall of Fame game night, and we didn't see anything really at all. And even Devin Hester, who's going in the Hall of Fame tonight, mentioned that he's like, yeah, I kind of expected bigger plays, and we just didn't get any. I mean, it's game one of however many, so maybe there will be more. But, I mean, even he was disappointed. And that was, like, the only reason I tuned into it. And it even eventually got rained out. So even then, I didn't even watch the entire thing because it got rained out. It's just, I don't know. The preseason, I get excited for it, and then it happens, and I'm like, never mind. Like, please just call me when September is here, because, man, it's frustrating to get through the preseason, because by week two, you're just like, oh, my goodness. Like, now I'm just reading camp reports, hoping and praying that none of my players got hurt. I mean, that's really where you're at for most of the preseason. You know, there's a few camp heroes that you root for, very few. For the most part, it is just, please, Lord, every time you open up Twitter, make sure this player, that player didn't get hurt, the team is healthy going into the season, what have you. I mean, that's where I'm at now with the Bills and their safeties. You just want to make sure that, like, guys like Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards, while they're week to week, it's more 2 weeks rather than three or four. I mean, I take a big sign for Bishop being quote-unquote okay, is that he doesn't have his arm in a sling or anything like that. I didn't see last night. He could have last night, but at least his first practice back being that Thursday, he did not, and I took that as a huge sign of, like, all right, it might be closer to 2 weeks rather than, you know, maybe even a month, if not more. I see that as a huge win there, but we'll see when he actually gets back. Same with Mike Edwards, a hamstring. That is always a pain in the you-know-what to try to come back from, and it's just they don't have a ton of depth there. They really, really don't, and that's now that's more what I worry about and care about more than anything they're going to do in the preseason. But I'm going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll talk about one of the Bills' preseason opponents, that being the Pittsburgh Steelers, as Chris Mack of BetQL joins the show at the top of the hour. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday right here on WGR.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.